Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial Episode 83. This is the show where we as a married couple look at life through a nerd lens. And today we're going to be talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah, which we've been waiting for a long time.
Very long time. This one, we were very excited to watch this one because the director was different. I mean, Rian Johnson, we've liked some of his stuff in the past. Some of his stuff we don't like. But he gives a very different feeling than J.J. Abrams does.
Right. And we were ready for a new director.
Yes.
Yes. And we're huge Star Wars fans, as you know if you're a longtime listener. And how long have we had our tickets for this?
The moment that they came out.
Yeah.
The moment that they were released. I mean, we've had them since October, maybe before September. I can't remember exactly when they were released, but what I did was, and I stayed up and like just kept hitting refresh on the internet browser and I signed up for every single fan alert,
of course,
and you know, like push notification to let me know. All my friends started saying, hey, go, it's on. And so I got Thursday night preview showing tickets,
mm-hmm.
and I got Friday night opening night tickets as a backup in case something happened.
Or we could just see it twice. Right.
We didn't get to see Thursday night or Friday night.
And there wasn't much that would keep us from seeing The Last Jedi except for Ripley.
That's right.
So Ripley got really sick and she got influenza and it ended up being so bad that we had to take her to the hospital. Which, if you followed our personal life on this podcast at all, was someplace we did not want to take her back to because when she was born, she was in the NICU for 2 weeks and we had to take her back to the hospital. So it was a rough time. And of course, the only thing that would keep us away from seeing Star Wars was Ripley being sick,
our baby being sick.
That was probably the only thing that would have kept us from going. Like, if I was sick, you were sick, we probably would have been like,
tough it out.
But poor baby was really sick. So she's doing better now.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've contacted Saul and said, you know, thoughts and prayers, we really appreciate it.
Because some of our listeners do follow us on social media.
Yes, absolutely.
And so they do, and a lot of you sent us emails and messages and tweets and everything like that. It was very, very much appreciated. So if you're listening now, we do thank you for keeping us in your thoughts and prayers. And it was, we were distraught because our baby was in the hospital.
Yeah, it was very scary.
But we knew she was going to be okay.
Right.
But we had a quiet moment. We just kind of looked at each other and we're like, I don't think we're going to make the backup showing either.
I don't think it's going to happen. It's kind of like in those moments, you have to find the humor.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot when your kid is sick and it's just the worst possible feeling when your kid is sick. You would love to take it away if you possibly could. But it was just funny because we were like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. It kind of took us back to like when I went into labor and I was like, oh man, we're going to miss the young Pope. Yeah,
the young Pope debuts this weekend. Come on, baby. Oh yeah, it's true. Like, that's the thing. You got to find the humor in it because, you know, like we spent the night at the hospital
twice.
Two nights in a row. Mm-hmm. We both slept in a chair.
Yeah.
And, but.
And the night before we slept next to her crib on the floor and it was just rough.
It was very rough and, but she's home.
Yeah.
She's doing well. She's doing good. And, it was funny because as soon as she was home and we put her to bed, I got on my phone. I was like, okay, what can we see tomorrow? And But then, you know, at the same time, we're like, okay, well, do we want to leave her alone? Not leave her alone. I mean, like, you know,
give her pizza money.
Like, give her pizza money. No, like, like her grandparents would be taking care of her and did take care of her. But like, I started going through, and at our theater, every single showing wasn't sold out, but all the decent seats were sold out.
The ones we would want.
Like, I don't want to, like, they were either split up or the front row.
Right.
I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait. We'll prolong the podcast and move on. And so that's actually, we were going to talk about The Crown last week, and then like life got in the way, and then we're like, okay, we'll just release the episode later. But then all of this happened, and we're like, whoa, okay. So we're going to skip the episode of The Crown. But yeah, so like we finally found it in a neighboring town.
Right.
And we're like, okay, we got decent seats, and we were so, and if you guys listened to our Justice League podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know that we're a little gun shy about going back to the theater.
Right.
Cause we almost got into a fist fight, that time. But, this time we were so exhausted and so tired and just happy to see the movie.
Right.
That we were like going to see it before.
Just some normalcy.
We're just like, whatever happens, whatever the movie is like or however the crowd is, doesn't matter. We're here and we're going to see it.
And I think it really helped when we saw all these little kids going in and like sitting really close to us. We're like, okay, whatever happens, happens. I'm just excited to see Star Wars on the big screen. And we actually had a kind of a funny audience because they were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
There was tons of little kids. So you could like hear
tons of kids.
You could hear the little kids throughout the whole audience, which was pretty funny. And they had quite a commentary going on.
It's true. Like they weren't horrible, but like towards the end.
Yes.
Because it's a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, it's a long movie for a kid.
It's, yeah. Like these kids were like, it was a PG-13 film and these kids were not 13.
No.
And, but like it's a 2.5-hour film, and like I think about like the hour and a half, hour 45-minute mark, these kids started walking up and down the aisles. They started going from parent to parent, cuddling, and just like they were bored.
Right. Or like they got scared and they needed to be on the lap or whatever. But it was just kind of funny because we were talking. We were like a year ago before Ripley, we would have been like so frustrated, which is an audience full of kids, but now we're just like, I think also after like what we the traumatic week we've had of being at the hospital, everything like that, we're like, whatever happens, it's cool.
It's cool. It's true. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, some of the kids were talking a little bit, not all throughout.
No.
But just them making comments here and there, and then like flailing their arms and like pointing to the screen and everything like that. And it's true. Like if I didn't have a baby at home, I would have been annoyed. But now I'm just kind of like, look at these kids. But one thing happened where I started getting a little emotional. Where the, you know, like Star Wars comes on like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then Star Wars, and then The Crawl comes up, and the mom was reading The Crawl to her kids because they couldn't read yet.
Right.
It got me. I started choking up a little bit because it made me think about my dad.
Right. And how you were.
Whenever we would watch Star Wars together, because watching Star Wars was a big part of my childhood with my dad. And he would read The Crawl to me, and he would read the subtitles to me.
Right.
And it just, I got transported back to that time.
Yeah.
And that immediately, like, just got me in the right mindset for this film, because I was just jazzed right away, because I was just like, I felt like a kid again for that brief second.
Yeah.
And if those kids weren't there, if those noisy kids, you know, weren't there, I would have had a different mindset.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so should we do like a spoiler-free review first?
Yes. Okay. I think we've been getting into a groove with that, so let's just go ahead. Yeah. And, like, this is a spoiler-free review, and so like we'll let you know when we get into spoiler territory about specifics of the film, but let's just give first impressions. So, walking out of the theater, what did you think?
I think that I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much like my takeaway. I was like, I had a good time. There were moments where I laughed. Nothing super emotional about it. Just like happy to be seeing Star Wars and happy to like see Luke. That was a big part. And Rey again.
Well, how about like what did you like going into it? What were you? Did you have high hopes for the movie?
I don't think so. I I think that I've, since The Force Awakens, I've kind of separated myself a little bit. Like, I don't have these expectations that they're going to meet the original three.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 4, 5, 6 are standalone for me. And I don't compare them at all to 1, 2, 3 or this new, you know, the new sequel trilogy. It doesn't. I think that that's like a healthy place, though, because I can enjoy what the films give me, but not, it's not ever going to feel like the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
I think that, like, all I really wanted going in was Luke, because I felt, you know, kind of like I obviously didn't get that in the last one. And I really love Rey, so I was hoping to get more of her. And that's pretty much all I really was looking for. I was like, I mean, like a good sci-fi film. That's it. So, I mean, I don't think I was blown away by any means. Like, I think there's a lot of flaws with this film, but I had a good time and I'm not super disappointed.
I you know what? I'm at the same place. Like, I love it when we disagree because I think it makes for great commentary.
It's a lot more fun.
It's a lot more fun to argue back and forth. It is. Like, negative reviews are fun. But I kind of had the same thing. Like, going into it, The Force Awakens could never meet anybody's expectations. It was way too high. And myself included. I was expecting so much from this film. I wanted The Force Awakens to change my life. And it didn't. And that's mm-hmm. okay. And nor should it have. Should it have? but I think what it helped me realize is that these are just movies. They're not like the originals. They're not like the prequels. They're mm-hmm. their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're set in the same universe. They have some of the same characters, but they're their own thing.
Right.
And with The Last Jedi, I was like, okay, just give me a good time. Just mm-hmm. give me a good time. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. I gave it no boxes to check.
Whereas when you went into The Force Awakens, you were like, it has to do this.
I want to see this. Yeah. I want to feel this. I mm-hmm. want to think this. I want to do this.
Right.
And it wasn't fair to the film.
Right.
With this one, like, it was a great ride. It was a wild ride. I had a lot of fun. It was cool to see these characters again. It was cool to see these ships again and mm-hmm. had some great action sequences.
Yeah.
There was a lot of plot.
A lot.
And not enough story.
Very true. Very true.
When
we get there, we can explore that.
I think that's my overall mm-hmm. commentary, is that this is a fun movie.
Right.
It's back in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Too much plot, not enough story.
And I think, kind of going back to, you know, the original 4, 5, 6 are just so magical that I feel like we hold up the franchise to that level and you're never going to get that again.
Never.
Like,
it's never going to happen again.
We're huge Star Wars fans, but it's never going to happen again. And I accept that and I'm okay with it because they had something really special and it's never going to happen again. But hey, if I can see, you know, some fun characters in that universe.
And a lightsaber fight?
Yeah, a lightsaber fight. I'm good.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of how I feel. But I feel like too many people are just in love with George Lucas or in love with, you know, the idea that we have to have it perfect,
mm-hmm.
that they can't actually enjoy the other stuff.
I think this was... I mean, like, we had three perfect movies.
Right.
And then we had the prequel trilogy.
And which I hate. I'm a huge hater of the prequels, so.
I'm not.
And you're not,
I'm not a big hater, but I understand that they're incredibly flawed movies.
But you see them more as, like, yeah, I can enjoy this universe.
Yeah.
In that way. I have a hard time even doing that with those. But.
Well, I feel like the prequel trilogy has helped me with the sequel trilogy.
Okay.
Because if we went straight from the original trilogy to the sequel trilogy, I'd be like, this is weird. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like the original trilogy.
Mm.
But because the prequel trilogy is so drastically different
mm-hmm.
from the original trilogy, then I'm able to appreciate the sequel. I'm saying trilogy a lot. I'm able to appreciate these sequels, these new films, these new episodes a whole lot more because the prequels were just so far distant
from what we got in the 70s and 80s. Does it for me too because of how much I do hate the prequels. So like my hatred for the prequels makes me maybe appreciate this new sequel.
Okay, so trilogy. We had the same destination, just different paths.
Yes, exactly.
There.
Exactly.
And we were talking about this in the car. We tried not to talk. We haven't talked about the movie.
No, we have not.
Which is what we always do.
Right.
We never talk about the movie on the way home. Mm-hmm. But we did start talking about the vibe, the feeling of it, and expectations. And we started talking about the prequel trilogy. Out of the prequel trilogy, the only one that I truly dislike, that I think is just a piece of trash movie, is Attack of the Clones. And Phantom Menace, I understand, is an incredibly flawed movie, but I love it because of nostalgia reasons. Like, I saw it when I was 12 or 13, and I was just totally enraptured by everything involving the movie. You know, like Darth Maul, the marketing, mm-hmm. The toys, the books, you know, like everything. I was just total. I was in. Okay. And I was a pubescent boy. And I was
said you're like, the movie was inconsequential to
almost, yeah,
all the stuff that came along with the rejuvenation of Star Wars at that time.
It's true. I was a victim of the marketing machine that was Star Wars, the
See,
Phantom Menace.
That was where my expectations died.
Okay.
Because I wanted so much for it to live up to the expectations of the original that when Phantom Menace came out, I just kind of wrote it off. I was like, nothing's going to be better. So now, like, through age and time, I'm able to appreciate this new, you know, rejuvenation of the franchise because I got burned as a kid.
Mm. You got jaded so young.
Exactly. I was so jaded towards it. So I think that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, actually, before we get into that.
Okay.
Before we get into spoilers, what do you think about, after seeing The Last Jedi, what do you think about The Force Awakens?
You mean how do I view it?
Yeah, like
in comparison?
Let me get a little bit more specific. So The Force Awakens, like when I walked out of The Force Awakens, I was like, do I like it? Do I not? You know, what's going on in my head?
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched it again at home and I was like, okay, this is pretty good. Like now that my expectations have died down, mm-hmm. this is okay. I grow to love it more and more. But when I walked out of Last Jedi, I was like, oh, that was fun. A lot of problems, but it was fun. Now, how do you feel about The Force Awakens leading into The Last Jedi?
Well, I think, you know, the formula of Star Wars is there, mm-hmm. and it's still there where, you know, The Force Awakens, I was fine with The Force Awakens because I went in not having that high of expectations. So when I came out, I was like, that was fun, if you recall.
I didn't recall that.
Yeah, I was like, that was fun. I got to see some old characters and I'm good. So I was fine with it. You were the one who had all the problems with it. You were like, I didn't check my boxes. So I kind of had the same feeling. I was like, okay, cool. I got to see, you know, something in the Star Wars universe. I'm good. You know, I got to see some of those old characters. Cool. I'm good. So for me, I kind of felt the same. I actually do want to go back like tonight and watch The Force Awakens again because I think there are certain moments of The Force Awakens that I enjoyed more,
mm-hmm.
Specifically Rey's character, and I can get into that later. But it was definitely lighter than this one in that respect.
Yes.
But so was, you know, Empire versus A New Hope. And yet, like, Empire is way better, in my opinion, than A New Hope. So I don't know. I think the formula is there. And we're, you know, so we're getting, like, this typical Star Wars formula of the feeling mm-hmm. of the films. Although I feel like this one's a little lighter okay. than what Empire was for the original, you know, trilogy.
Okay. All right. I get that. I think I already kind of talked about how I felt about The Force Awakens. And so like once I made peace with it and moved on and started to enjoy it, mm-hmm. I started to get more excited about The Last Jedi. And I think what really got me excited about The Last Jedi is when Kathleen Kennedy announced that Rian Johnson was going to be given his own trilogy that was separate from the Skywalker saga.
Mm.
Where I was like, oh, wow. Okay, well, if Kathleen Kennedy has that much faith
right.
in Rian Johnson as a director, as well as this movie, it's got to be good, right? It's got to be great. And so that's where that, I think that was the only thing, like no okay. trailer, no picture, no marketing material got me as excited as Kathleen Kennedy saying the reason why Rian Johnson can't do episode 9 is because he's going to be doing his own films.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into spoiler territory. All so right. you have been warned, spoiler territory from here on out.
That's right.
Buzz, 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 buzz. Okay. I want to get something off my chest.
Okay. I'm scared.
When it started ramping up, when we started going towards The Last Jedi, and it opened up in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up for reviewers and everything like that. I muted every single word I could on Twitter. Like mm-hmm. I muted Star Wars, Mark Hamill, Rian Johnson, Daisy Ridley. Every single actor's name and character's name.
You possibly could.
I muted Porg. You know, like I muted everything that you possibly think of. And so I was good there. I deleted Tumblr from my phone because that spoiled Rogue One for me.
Yeah.
And I deleted my news app.
That's right.
Because Star Wars stuff kept coming up. And it was, I was just like, okay, I'm good. I'm fine. And then I was like, I should be good for Thursday because we're going to see it Thursday. You know, this is the first showing in the United States. We're going to see it. And so there's no way anything can get spoiled for me. But then, you know, Ripley got sick.
Right. And if you're ever, like, I mean, had bedside someone in the hospital when you were sitting bedside, you understand that social media is, like, the only thing that keeps you sane.
Yeah. Because the person's resting.
Right, exactly.
And also we have a kid that we can't talk to.
Right, exactly. So you're just, like, you're there for them. You know, you have nurses and doctors taking mm-hmm. care of them. But you're just, like, your presence. But that meant you're on your phone all the time, right?
Right.
So, but you had to delete everything.
I deleted everything but Instagram. And I yes. I don't follow anything Star Wars related on Instagram.
Right.
And I have a private Instagram, and everyone who I follow is not a jackass. And so they know not to post anything crazy.
Right, right.
And so I was on the main Star Trek account. Star Trek. That's right.
Trek,
you heard me correctly.
Not Star Wars.
I was on the main Star Trek account. And they were reviewing a new comic book that was coming out. And in the comments, right below the comic, some walking pus mule.
That's a new one.
Said the words, Snoke and Luke die.
That's it?
That's it.
Just period?
Period.
Snoke, drop the mic.
Snoke and Luke die.
Wow.
In the comments of a Star Trek comic book thread on Instagram.
That's so mean. That's just cruel.
They
probably did that all over the internet.
Yeah, they probably did. They probably went on Twitter, on Reddit, on everywhere, and just did that just to be that type of person.
I was going to say, what kind of person could you be?
Like, how broken of an individual do you have to be to delight in doing that?
It's true.
Like, this wasn't...
I love it when you say broken.
Why?
It's like a broken person.
This is a broken person. This is someone
who... There's no hope for them.
There's no hope for them. They need to be ejected from society. I'm just imagine... Like, they don't... They eat drywall instead of cereal. That's how broken they are as a person. Like, I want to get... Like, I want to say hyperbolic things and wish horrible acts of violence
on
my.
Them.
But I don't, because I don't like it when people... Like, say crap like that, like, oh, go burn in a fire. That's horrible social media stuff. What I want them to do is step on a Lego every single day for the rest of their life. That's what I want for them. And I want them to know it's because of me. I reported them to Instagram.
Did you really?
I did.
You're crazy.
I was like, screw this person.
That's crazy.
And his whole family.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so going into it. I didn't know if this person was just saying something like, oh, like something ridiculous like Jar Jar comes back, you know, like, or or if they're actually telling the truth. Now that we actually know they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so I went into it once again going, well, I know this is going to happen, so that sucks.
Yeah.
But as I was watching the film, it didn't actually ruin anything for me.
Okay.
Knowing that ahead of time, there are enough surprises involving those deaths
mm-hmm.
that it didn't ruin anything for me because, like, yeah, I thought maybe Luke was going to go. I don't know, but whatever. Yeah. Regardless, I just needed to get that off my chest before okay. I went into it.
Yeah, no, that sucks. That yeah, really
it does.
Sucks.
It really does. Because, you know, like longtime listeners will remember that what was ruined for me in Rogue One was the appearance of Leia at the very, very end.
Right. And that's a huge, like, fun reveal.
Just a fun reveal.
Right. But this didn't ruin it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And what was hysterical is as soon as we got home, I reinstalled Tumblr on my phone. And the first thing I saw on Tumblr when I logged back in was Luke disappearing.
Of course.
That was literally the first thing.
People are jerks. Like, wait. Just, like, even wait the weekend. You know? Like, if you're going to see the movie past Monday, you know, then you probably understand that you're going to get something spoiled. But come on.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
People are the worst. All of them. I like you, but that's pretty much it. Man.
Oh.
Okay, so we talked about how this was a fun ride, a wild
yeah,
ride.
Yeah, it was fun.
I guess I want to get into the nitty-gritty where... Well, okay, what was your favorite thing? What was some of your favorite things about the film?
Well, okay, so I'm glad that we got Luke, like I said before, because that was a huge disappointment in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to see more of him. And I liked the moments of Rey and Luke together, like when it was more like fun, you know, like, mm-hmm. like for example, like when he finally decides to like help her see the forest, like that moment was really cute where like the little branch.
She reaches out.
Yeah.
Her hand.
Yeah. Okay, that was really cute.
I laughed really hard at that, but at the same time, it made Rey look a little dumb.
It did. It did. But like, they didn't really have any of those cute moments for her except for that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, whatever.
I made my peace with it too. I was like, yes, it makes her look a little dumb, but that's okay because it was right. so adorable.
Yeah.
And I loved seeing Luke go in on the joke.
Yeah.
Because we don't normally see, we didn't really see Luke go in on the joke.
In the previous films. Yeah. It felt more like Mark Hamill going in on the joke.
It did. It felt like Mark Hamill. There was a few times.
There was quite a few times,
when
actually.
It wasn't Luke Skywalker on the screen.
That's Mark Hamill.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you're so strong in the Force, or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I like the Porgs. They're cute.
Okay. I liked the Porgs, too. I would have liked them more if the marketing machine didn't ramp them up.
Yeah, I think that we could calm down that a little bit. I mean, they're cute, but they're not like Ewok cute.
They weren't integral to any kind of plot like the Ewoks.
No,
and
they're just cute.
They're just these cute little things.
They just
things.
Live on the little island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was weird.
I was expecting them to be like sentient, or like I was expecting them to talk like the Ewoks or something like that.
Oh, thank God they didn't though.
Oh, thank God they didn't. Yeah. But because like there was all this Porg madness, this mania
yeah.
going on social media and in the news and in merchandise.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right.
Calm down.
Cool.
Yeah.
But they're cute.
Cute.
I liked it that they, you know, Chewie took some on the ride, you know.
After he ate one.
I know.
That was,
that
pretty,
was
adorable.
Pretty adorable.
When the one was just like quivering its lip, like what?
Exactly. what else did I like? I liked seeing Luke and Leia together.
That was a very special moment.
It
that I think
was.
They handled perfectly.
It was, and it was needed for the fans. So that was good. I really appreciated that as a fan.
That needed to happen.
It really did.
And I thought that was handled. Yeah, it was handled deftly, and
mm-hmm.
it was respectful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sappy. It wasn't over the top.
Right.
No one was bawling their eyes out, and no one was professing their deep sorrow or
mm-hmm.
love or anything like that. It was just...
It was right.
It was right.
And I also appreciated that if they were going to get rid of Luke, if Luke had to die, I think they did it in a respectful way.
Yes. Yes, they did. I don't think Luke had to die.
I don't think so either. There was a few moments there where I was like, I don't know if they're going to do it or not. Are they? Like, I had the same feeling that you did where I was like, I bet they're going to kill off Luke. Like, the moment I was like, well, they did it to Han. They're going to do it to Luke. So I knew it was coming possibly. But actually, until, like, the very end, I was like, I'm not sure. Because I didn't think he needed to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like they kind of had me guessing all up mm-hmm. until the end. Because when Luke was fighting Kylo Ren at the very, very end.
Which was cool.
Which was great. Because it wasn't over the top. It wasn't crazy. Right. You know, they weren't jumping around like jackrabbits or anything like that. It was... Like they had me guessing where, like, when Kylo Ren, like, slices through Luke, they cut it in a way where you're like, oh, did they just pull an Obi-Wan? Like, did he ascend right then and there?
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that he wasn't there all along.
Well, and you notice they showed in the dirt, which was red, like, kind of looked like blood, you know, with the salt, whatever they were talking about. Kylo moved his foot and made the streak. But I was watching because I was like, Luke's isn't doing that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like the whole time, he never left a tread.
I did not see that.
I'm just a better viewer.
I guess so. You're just much more observant than I am. But did you question his lightsaber?
Yes, I did. I was like, because I almost leaned over to you and then I'm like, I'm just going to wait.
Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, how did he get his lightsaber?
Like, we saw that lightsaber get destroyed.
Right?
Like, how does he have that one? And I really wanted to see him use his green lightsaber.
I know.
And not just in the flashback.
I know, me too.
But, say Levy. Yes. But I was just like, the entire time I was like, okay, explain the lightsaber, explain the lightsaber, explain the lightsaber, explain the lightsaber. And then I was like, okay, that does make sense.
Yeah, but that was cool. That was very cool.
That moment, how they did it. And that's part of that's what I was talking about. That's what kept me guessing is that, like, when he sliced through and he wasn't really there, I was like, oh, okay. Like, he didn't just ascend as Obi-Wan. He's just astral projecting himself
mm-hmm.
because we're constantly finding out new things about the Force, which I really appreciate.
Yes.
And then he said, yeah. I'll see you around, kid. I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe he's not going to die. And then we go back and I'm like, and he looks like he's going to pass out. And I was like, okay. Is he going to die? Wait, no, he's not going to die. And then he ascends, and I'm like, crap, he died.
yeah.
But.
Yes.
It was one last hurrah.
And it also is one of those things where, since he's a Jedi, they could bring him back Yoda style.
They have to bring him back for the next one.
Of course they do. They have to. Come on, right? Also, loved that Yoda was a puppet.
Yes.
That I really appreciated.
It was interesting because as I was watching it, I was like, is he a puppet? Is he CGI to make it look like the puppet? You know?
I don't know. Like, do not quote me or anything like that. But it kind of felt like he was a puppet, but they, like,
CGI'd
some parts of him.
Yeah.
Or even, like, maybe some facial. I don't know.
Some feet.
It felt that.
Yeah.
But it felt much more authentic.
Whatever
they did.
Like, I actually, like, as soon as we saw the movie, I got onto the Nerd Party's private chat. And started catching up on what the rest of the Nerd Party thought about the movie. And some people loved that Yoda was there. And other people was just like, eh. And then some people didn't like the look of Yoda. I was like, I loved it.
Oh, me too.
It looked totally. Like Empire Yoda.
Yeah, me too. That's how I felt.
But like ghostly form.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It was just, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was
absolutely.
Good. What did you think about, like, not just the look of Yoda, but what did you think about them using Yoda?
Well, if they couldn't have Alec Guinness,
yeah.
Then Yoda is a good option,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I thought that who to speak to Luke to kind of get him back into the ways, absolutely would have been Yoda.
I wondered about that. Like, as I was watching it, I was just like, okay, well, clearly, like, I said the same thing that you said to myself. I was like, clearly they can't do Alec Guinness, and... I don't think they would do a whole Rogue One thing where they would, like, de-age somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I want to know how that conversation went down. They're like, do we use Obi-Wan? Do we de-age him like Peter Cushing, you know, and get somebody that sounds like him? Or do we get Ewan McGregor and make him look older?
That would have felt I would not have liked that. Like, I am happy yes. with them using Yoda because I feel like all the other options would have felt a little cheap.
What did you think about Ghost Yoda having influence over the real world? Like, he caused...
I thought it was pretty awesome.
It was awesome. Don't get me wrong. It was badass and cool.
No, but I thought it was pretty awesome.
We've never seen anything like that
well,
before.
Well, we also didn't know Leia could come back from the dead in the middle of space. Okay, how'd let's you feel about that?
Let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about that. From day one, when they announced the sequel trilogy,
mm-hmm.
one thing that I wanted to see before episode 9 was over, obviously we're on episode 8, but you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, before this new sequel trilogy yes. was over, I wanted to see Leia use her force powers.
Yes.
Because we never knew if Leia had force powers. We just knew that she had
a connection to Luke.
A connection, and she was intuitive. She could right. read things. And so we always, and Yoda talked about how there was another.
Mm-hmm.
So if Yoda thought that there was another, speaking of Leia, then obviously she had potential.
Right.
Now, I don't think she had any interest
in pursuing it,
but I wanted to see something. I wanted to see an emotional reaction. I think one thing that I was quoted as saying, why? No one quoted me on it. I'm quoting myself. God, how pretentious was that?
That was pretty good, babe.
That was completely unintentional, folks. I'm as just disgusted as you are in myself. Ugh. Ugh. Anyway, what I said before.
That's usually what people say.
Yeah. Weird. Was like, I wanted her to get like super angry, or like if there was the death of Luke, like she just gets super upset and like all the windows explode around her. Something like that. Something simple. Okay. But in this one, she turned into a superhero.
I was going to say she like Superman style was able to be in space and then come back to life.
Like she didn't freeze to death. Right. She didn't asphyxiate.
Able to project herself back.
And then like, you know, flew back.
Right.
In the moment, I was like, oh, like okay, here, like my emotions went. Was a roller coaster.
Oh, me too.
Like when they blew her out, I was just like,
no,
those sons of bitches, they actually did it. They killed her. And I was just like, I can't believe they did that. They said
this early. Yeah.
This early. And Carrie Fisher's actually gone. This hurts. And then we see her floating around and we see a close up and I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, I was just so angry.
Yeah.
I was like, how dare you? And then
it
I was like,
it felt disrespectful.
It felt so disrespectful. But then, like, 0.5 seconds went by and I was like, oh, okay, they're going to do something because they're not morons. They're going to do something. And then she started wiggling her hand and then she came in and I was just kind of like, oh, wow, cool. I'm blown away. This is amazing. She's still alive. She's using the force. That's cool. And then when it was all said and done, I was like, that was stupid.
That's how I felt too. I was just like, this feels wrong.
It felt, there was 1,000 different ways they could have done it.
Yeah.
And they did it in a really cheesy way.
It felt weird. It was like, I do not know what possessed them to do that, especially since we really haven't explored Leia's powers.
Yeah.
And then all of us, other than like, she has a feeling,
mm-hmm.
and then she's able to survive space,
and
come back to life, or not be dead. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was messed up.
As I was driving home with you, I was thinking about like what would have been cooler, and I think what would have been cooler and would have gotten the same point across is when the bridge imploded and there was fire everywhere. If she kind of crouched down and the fire just moved around her.
Yeah,
and we saw we see this kind of like this force bubble around her, and so the fire doesn't touch her, but yet she asphyxiates because the air goes out of the room, and then she just collapses.
I could see that, because what they did was like too epic.
Yeah, but Rian Johnson didn't come and talk to me. So.
Too bad.
It's too bad. I have a lot of great ideas.
I think the other part...
people quote me all the time.
Apparently, you quote yourself. So that was weird. But I was able to accept Luke projecting himself.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like, because those two were pretty crazy moments.
Yeah.
But Leia didn't make sense, especially since we didn't explore any of the Force in the episode.
I don't even think it's that.
It's just her coming back to life. Like, I mean, come on.
It's the way that they showed the Force powers. I have zero problem with her having Force powers.
No. I want her to have Force powers. Like, I wanted her to explore that more. I wanted to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they probably listened to the fans and were like, we need to show more of this, but not to the extent that she can survive space.
Yes. 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 Okay. Very much so. Like,
also, I really feel like we are giving Rey too much power. How do you feel about that? Because Luke had a hard time with, like, a rock mm-hmm. on Dagobah, or his, you know, his ship on Dagobah. And he was trying to work his powers, okay?
And he was the son of Anakin exactly. Skywalker.
Exactly. And then we have Rey, who I'm not, like, I don't know whether she's just from, you know, nobody or not. You know, we haven't officially confirmed that, probably.
Yeah.
But, and that's cool if she's not, has no bloodline of Skywalker or anything like that. I'm fine with that.
Fine.
But at least let her earn her Jedi powers. Because right now, we're in this territory where she's just, like, lifting all the boulders by herself. And there's not even, like, any strain.
It was super easy.
She was
for
just
her.
Like, yeah. Let me put out my hand.
It was, like, Yoda-esque.
Exactly. I mean, that just seems kind of crazy to me.
It
and
was,
I love yeah. Rey. And I love that we have, like, a female Jedi who's in control and, like, going to lead, you know, the rebellion and everything. I think that's awesome. But let her earn it. Like Luke.
Work your way up
exactly.
to it.
Exactly.
Because even Luke in, like, you know, like, Luke in A New Hope, like, he learned the blaster training droid, and he was able to, like, listen to himself and listen to the Force and shoot some missiles down a shaft.
Right.
That was his exploration of the Force. And in Empire, like, he moved some boulders up, he had some self-exploration, and he lost to Vader.
Right.
And in Jedi, when you realize that he did nothing but study.
Exactly.
He was
then he was ready then to face Vader.
Yeah.
But
and this
Rey
one is just like,
hasn't had to earn anything.
I think that the Force Awakens is in Rey and something just triggered. So we need some sort of explanation about that.
Right.
There needs to be some sort of reasoning as to why she's just, boom, I'm now Yoda.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
that bothers me.
It was very strange. I think it's a victim of 2017.
Well, I feel like every protagonist has to be just automatically good at yeah. what they're doing. So now we have, like, this again super, like, hero status in the Star Wars universe, whereas that was never part of the picture. Right. It was always like training. You needed a Jedi master to become, you know, well-versed in the Force.
Mm-hmm.
She barely got any Luke.
Now, yeah, that's true. Like, that's
like,
true. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
She got
more Kylo Ren than Luke.
People complained for decades about how little training Luke got with Yoda. And but then, you know, like...
Right.
And then
she didn't finish his training, you know?
Yeah, and right. Rey got even less training with Luke.
Exactly.
Like, Rey didn't really get any training. She
no.
got some pointers.
Exactly.
And it was just...
Pointers about how the Jedi should not be in existence anymore.
Being a Force wielder or Force user, being someone sensitive to the Force, doesn't make you amazing. It doesn't make you a
no.
Jedi. There are tons of Force users in the Star Wars galaxy, but like you said... Like, you need a master. You need someone who can train you and move you forward and just...
Right.
You know, like, Kylo Ren had Luke and Snoke. And
right.
Rey had no one. And she still had no one. And she's able to move boulders and, like, move everything out of the way.
Right.
And fight,
like, Kylo Ren and, you know...
Snoke even said that. She's like, you were beaten by a woman who had never even held a lightsaber before.
Right. I just
so
want
what's her story?
I want an explanation.
There's got to be something.
There has to be. Otherwise, it's, again, like a victim of 2017, of that we have to have these, like, superhero status.
Everybody's force, a superhero. Force, everybody's a super genius.
Exactly. A force yeah. wielder or whatever. Yeah, that bothered me.
So this film had a lot of great moments and a lot of great development with certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
Kylo Ren, I think, is fantastic.
Oh, I loved it when they were communicating.
That was my favorite part of the film.
Me too.
The two of them talking.
I loved it.
I could have had more of it.
Oh, me too. Like, and the idea that, like, Snoke had, like, brought them together to, like, talk and, like, to convince. You know, it was, like, it was just a really cool thing with the Force that felt different, which was, but it was a good different. Like she could see him. Mm-hmm. That was neat. I liked that.
Like I loved it. Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite part of the movie. My favorite bit was that communication. Yeah. And I love how neither of them knew why it was happening.
Right.
And they just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
And I loved the connection.
I
loved that relationship, and I'm not saying relationship as in
no,
you know, something romantic, but I loved that connection, and it made you say like, oh, well, is Rey gonna turn to the dark side?
Mm-hmm.
Is Kylo gonna turn to the light side?
And there was a question for a while there. I felt
it could go either way,
which is good storytelling.
I thought that was the best storytelling of the movie.
Yes,
was which way are they gonna go? And even when Kylo Ren turned on Snoke and killed his guards, I was thinking, I was just like, that was too easy.
Yes.
That was too
easy. Too fast.
There's no way he's just going to be like, okay, I'm going to join the rebels now.
No way.
I'm going to be super pissed if they do that. And they didn't.
Yes.
And that was very smart.
Yes. I appreciate that.
He pulled the whole Vader thing. He's like, okay, cool. Like, let's let everything die.
Yes.
Let's let everything. And like, for a moment, I was kind of like, let's do that. but then I was on board with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was just kind of like, let the resistance die. Let the First Order die. Just move on from Snoke. Move on from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And just go off and do your own thing. But then when he said, rule the galaxy.
Right.
Just like of Vader. Course. That's when I'm just kind of like, oh, well, damn. You lost me, Kylo.
Well, because we saw his humanity, and we kind of liked Rey and he together.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were a great team.
Yeah, I liked it. I was kind of like, I kind of want to see that. But then, like you said, we still knew that there was, you know, darkness. There was still evil in his heart. And then we're like, okay. Relationship and subplot that I did not like was the Finn Rose.
The whole storyline was pointless. The whole storyline
got us nowhere.
Was ridiculous. This movie easily could have been 2 hours and excise that from the movie.
Yes.
And it would have been beneficial. The casino plot, the herd chase, what the hell?
Oh, like the whole idea of like, you know, release the dogs, you know, like, you know, like the arms dealers. It was like, okay, you know, whatever.
Benicio del Toro's character.
Yeah. What was that? It was just pointless. It was pointless. And then at the end, we pull a whole I love you thing. What the hell was that?
That was
really... I was so pissed. I was so pissed.
You and I looked at each other.
And I wanted Finn to go straight into that thing.
So did I.
And I was like, what are you doing, Rose? I was pissed at Rose. And then when she threw out that love line, I was like, are you kidding me? I was so pissed.
You know, love is quantifiable.
Oh, Sarah. My God. You want to shut up. I freaking hate that. Stop it. But that's exactly where I go back to.
I know. It was such an eye roll. You and I both looked at each other in the theater where she, and like, to make matters worse, she said one of the most ridiculous, like, she said that ridiculous line. Not only did she save Finn when he didn't need saving.
No. And he was doing something for a purpose.
And she could have killed him.
Yes.
And averted him, you know, from doing the right thing.
Right.
And she gives the whole, like, we don't kill what we hate. We save what we love. And I'm like, oh, God.
It was disgusting.
Oh, did you read that on a little Justice t-shirt? Oh, jeez. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, as Finn was going towards the gun,
I was like, oh, good. There was a purpose to his character in this movie.
There could have been some growth. Like, right. He said, he's like, this is what I, like, maybe this is what he's meant to do. He's like,
right.
He is a traitor to the First Order in order to save the Resistance. And this is him saving the Resistance.
Exactly. And I also felt like, okay, I thought Rose was a fine character, but she basically was Rey's character. Does that make sense? Only not Rey.
She was
like the fill in Rey.
Because Rey can't be in two places.
Exactly,
at once.
And Rey needs to be more serious now.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, just you don't always have to have that dynamic in this movie. Like, just put Finn and Poe together.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh.
Okay, think about this. This is one thing that really bothers me is that you look at A New Hope, and you have, you kind of have two storylines going on at the same time. You have like the droid storyline,
mm-hmm.
and then you have them looking for the droids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the droids hook up with Luke. And then they hook up with Han, and then Han hooks up with Leia.
Right.
And then it's all kind of sequential,
mm-hmm.
and that's all one linear thing, but you have the bad guys chasing them
right.
throughout the entire thing.
Right.
Then you have Empire, and you have Han and Leia's storyline,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Luke and Yoda's storyline.
Right.
And then they meet up, and then there's a big battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Jedi, it gets bigger.
Right.
Okay, you have Luke's storyline again,
mm-hmm.
but then you have Han and Leia on Endor, and then they split up for a little bit, come back,
right,
and then you have the big battle at the end with three different storylines,
right,
three battles going on.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had three storylines going on all throughout.
Yes,
this was a very messy film.
It was.
This was a messy Star Wars film.
Yes,
and that's very hard to do. Because Star Wars, by its very nature, is messy and all over the place. Multiple planets, multiple ships,
right.
multiple things going on.
Right.
You have to be you have to be like a 5-year-old's finger painting kind of messy. You know, in order to achieve this in the Star Wars universe.
Well,
Rogue One got close.
So we had we had Finn and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
We had Rey.
And Luke.
And Luke. Yeah, and then we had
the bad guys.
The bad guys, and then we and then we had
Poe and
Leia and Laura Dern.
Yeah, whatever her name was, Hologram. I don't know.
Who knows? Okay, so it was way too many.
Way too many. And that's the thing is that like if you excised the pointless.
Yeah.
Finn and Rose stuff.
Because they didn't get to achieve anything they were meant to do.
They made things worse. Lots of innocent lives were lost because Poe and Finn achieved mutiny.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
like,
right.
They should be court-martialed within the Resistance.
Absolutely. Like, all the stuff that Poe was doing, I was like, Leia, put him in the brig.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? The entire time, I'm like, no, this is not, like, cute, like, you know, I'm a rebel stuff, you know, that Luke was like, oh, I think it's, you know, better to do this way. No. Poe is a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, he should not be involved at all. Right?
Right, yeah. I am not with Poe on this one.
No.
And I'm not with Finn on this one. They caused innocent people to die. They caused several transports to be eradicated.
Yes.
They went from like 400 survivors down to a couple dozen that could fit on the Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
That's how many
ridiculous.
People died because of Poe Poe and Finn.
Yeah, you're right.
And what the biggest plot hole, I think, was Laura Dern's character keeping her plan a secret. Why did she keep it a secret?
It made no sense.
She kept it a secret so that Poe and Finn would mutiny and so that the plot would move along. And if she didn't, if she was actually a good leader and informed her crew of what was going on, then none of this would have happened.
I love Laura Dern as an actress. Love her. But why did we need her? Like, we
didn't.
Why was she there? Like, the whole time, it was like, why do we need this Leia replacement
stand-in.
That's not good at, you know, is not as good as Leia? Like, I don't understand this.
We had a Leia stand-in, and we had a Rey stand-in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to get more storylines going. Remove that stuff, and you could have had better character focus
mm-hmm.
on Rey as well as Leia.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have had a shorter movie.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
What happened there? What's going on?
I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, Benicio del Toro's character, why the hell was he there? And like people thought that he was going to be like Ezra, like from the Rebels cartoon. And
oh, that's too bad.
And then at the moment he was there, I was just like, oh, he's not. He's not going to be Ezra. like, and yeah, it's just it was so messy. The plot didn't make sense in certain areas. And I did like the ticking time bomb scenario. Like, I liked the clock. Like, the clock was winding down. It was just like, they're running out of fuel. we got to get
going. Oh, yeah, I get that.
We got to do this.
Yeah,
we got
to
do
that. That helps progress the plot to a certain degree.
So instead of them leaving the ship and going to some random casino, and that I feel like they were trying to make some sort of political statement. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to do there.
Or some sort of classism statement. Yeah. Again, not sure, didn't care. Instead of doing that, why didn't they spend more time on them infiltrating the dreadnought? Like, just have Finn and Rose and Poe infiltrate the dreadnought against Laura Dern's orders, and then, you know, somehow make it all worthwhile. I don't know.
Right.
Like, make them not traitors.
It would have felt more, you know, like they're, you know, like we're going on the Death Star and trying to get Princess Leia. It would have felt much more like that than what it was. It had no payoff whatsoever.
It had negative payoff.
Negative. Innocent lives.
And Finn wasn't developed?
No.
And Poe just was a jackass?
Yeah.
And people died.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of people died.
Exactly.
And I feel like no one's caring about that. So, okay, moving on.
The only emotional part that I thought was they did really well was when Rose's sister died. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt that.
This movie had
a great
intro.
Yeah, it was very good.
This was really cool. Like, before we got to Luke and Rey, that intro, that battle.
With the bombers. Oh, yeah.
And
that was great.
With the First Order and them trying to escape and Poe saying, no, let's do this. Let's finish this. That was great. That was a cool hook.
But that should have been the last of his rebellion against Leia.
Yes. Correct.
And, you know, the Admirals. You know, that should have been it. That should have been like the, okay, that was your one. Now fall in line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far, but he definitely shouldn't have taken it any further.
Right.
Because Leia had a fantastic point. She smacks him and says, you're demoted. Like, yes, they defeated a dreadnought, but they lost all of their bombers.
Lines, right. And you could see, like, she was broken up about it. And
And then at the end, she kind of passes the torch to Poe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're trying to tell us, like, Poe is kind of the leader now. That's BS.
That's not smart.
That's not smart at all.
No.
This guy cost lives.
Exactly.
This guy's a mutineer.
Can we talk about when I went to go pee?
Yes. Okay, so I had to pee because this was a 2.5-hour movie. And it was right when Rose and Finn got on the dogs or the horses.
Yes.
The pig dogs.
Which is actually where I wanted to pee, but I decided to stay because I would fill you in. Well, it turns out that point was pointless, so I just, like, didn't even tell you what happened.
I didn't even ask
because they were still in the middle of the chase.
Yeah, like, I left to go pee, came back, and nothing changed. I was like, oh, great, I chose the perfect time to pee.
Yeah.
And then you get up
and go. I go and pee. I come back and you're like, holy crap, you missed a lot. And you're like rattling off all these things and people are in different costumes on the screen and we're in a different location. And Rey is with Kylo Ren on the ship and like Poe and Rose are in like costumes for like the First Order. And I'm like, what is going on?
The moment you left, Rey took...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the moment you left, Rey took an escape pod, flew into Kylo's ship. Kylo put her in handcuffs and then walked away. And then Finn and Rose and Benicio del Toro snuck onto the ship.
Yes.
Got costumes and started walking around. And on top of that,
Poe cut the mutiny.
Did the mutiny and took away and kicked the Vice Admiral off the bridge.
I was like, I swear I was only gone for like 3 to 5 minutes tops.
Oh, you weren't even
not
gone.
Even that,
not
right?
Even 3 minutes.
Okay.
You were really quick.
I was like, what the heck?
Worst time. That was
not when worth it.
All three storylines were converged.
Of course.
That's the time you chose.
Of course.
So, what did you think about Luke?
I felt bad that we didn't see more of Luke taking charge. Like, he was just this maudlin Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, woe is me, bad things happened. And I'm just going to hang out around this island and walk around, wander around, get the weird milk
alien
from
juice.
The alien juice from the teat. That was disgusting. And just kind of like mess with Rey. Like, it made no sense. It just, you know, honestly, though, they set the tone when they picked right back up where they left off with Rey and Luke, and he, you know,
he tosses
the lightsaber away.
I laughed really hard at that. I loved that because it completely subverted expectations.
It did.
And
it
I was
totally
just like,
did.
Like with Luke throwing the lightsaber behind him, I was like, okay, Rian Johnson, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
We have no idea what's going to happen.
Which I appreciated. Because I think every fan had an idea of how that would have gone down.
How that training was going to go and what it was going to look like. Yeah.
But that being said, kind of would have liked it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see Master Luke.
I wanted to see Master Luke.
Yes.
Who was taught by Yoda, taught by Obi-Wan.
And that payoff of Rey learning from Master Luke.
And then justifying Rey's abilities a little bit more.
Exactly. Really liked the cave sequence for Rey with the mirror. I thought that was cool.
Did you? Why?
I thought it was a cool idea, but then there was no payoff.
Yeah, there was no payoff.
Like, I was like, okay, cool. We're in the cave, you know, and
like Empire.
This is cool, like Empire.
And then she sees herself like Empire.
And then it was like, okay, but that wasn't what she was looking for. It would have been nice to have had that answered.
I feel like
her parents.
All that I can think of is that, like, in the cave in Empire, he defeats Vader, the faceplate pops off, and it's Luke's face.
Right.
That's the foreshadow of, oh, Vader's my father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my ancestry. They were playing off of that, and then we see two shadowy figures, and we're like, oh, we're going to find out who her parents are. And then she just sees herself. Echoes of Empire, but what's it trying to say? I think it's trying to say one of two things. One thing, it doesn't matter who her parents are.
Right.
She's a force wielder. She doesn't need to be Obi-Wan's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to be Luke's daughter. She doesn't need to be Han's love child, whatever. It's like she doesn't need to be a part of this holy bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
She's just herself.
Or they just don't know what to do with her.
That's the third one. Because this film very much shows that I don't think they know where they're going.
I don't think so.
But the other one, what else I was going to say was maybe she's like Anakin, where she was born of the Force. She has no parents.
Maybe.
You know, like where Shmi Skywalker said, you know, like Anakin has no father.
That's true.
So maybe that they took that a step further.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why she's so powerful, is because she is the embodiment of the Force, even more powerful than Anakin.
Well, that'd be freaking sweet, except for I don't think they're that smart because they haven't called us.
They haven't called us.
I know.
I've reached out to them several times. But yeah, this movie was very messy. It showed that they don't really know where they're going to go. Oh, one big thing. I know we're going long, but one big thing.
It's Star Wars. We can go as long as we want.
Maybe I'm complaining too much.
I wonder if people are like, do they like the movie?
Do they like this movie? Because I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun.
But this is something that I felt with The Force Awakens, where I was like, I was so confused. I was like, what's the state of the galaxy right now? You know, like, what's the First Order? How big are they?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And why are they called the Resistance if they're backed by the Republic? And I know that there's ancillary materials. They had a novel, blah, blah, blah. Don't care. Don't ever talk to me about a novel because it doesn't matter. I should be able to watch the movie and get all the information I need.
People are really screaming at you.
Oh, my gosh. I hate it when people tell me this crap. But so the Resistance was just like, I think like we find out that the Resistance is, it's because the New Republic doesn't think the First Order is really a threat, but Leia does. And so she develops a resistance to say, like, okay, like... This has happened before. I'm going to try to prevent this from happening again. But then at the end of The Force Awakens, they obliterate the New Republic.
Right.
And so The Last Jedi is a repercussions of that. We have now done an epic reset.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happened from New Hope onto Empire, onto Jedi, and then the 30-year gap was meaningless.
Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right, which pisses you off.
It really does.
It really does. It's frustrating as a fan.
It's very frustrating. There's no development. There's no growth. We saw 30 years of, like, 30 years of history, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. We're like post-Jedi.
Right.
Like post-Jedi, they still have to struggle. They still have to defeat all a remnants of the Empire. And then we find out that the Battle of Jakku was the last battle of the Empire. And then they had to rebuild the Republic in those 30 years. And then they finally do. And then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that that gap that was interesting is now meaningless.
Exactly.
And the struggle
to get
of
there.
The original trilogy to get to that gap
yep.
is now meaningless.
Yeah. Like, why would they do that to themselves?
I don't understand. I don't get it. There had to have been a different way. There had to have been a way to develop something new that didn't spit on the past
mm-hmm.
and make it meaningless. Now, meaningless in the terms of history and in the terms of the sequel trilogy. Obviously, when you watch the original trilogy, that's one story.
Of course. Of course.
And it doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter what happened afterwards.
You have to watch it that way. Otherwise, you'd just be angry.
Yeah, you'll just be upset. You're just kind of like, this is that story.
Mm-hmm.
And the prequels is that story.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequel trilogy is that story. So I guess I kind of answered my own question there.
Yeah, I guess so. But I do feel like... Like you said, I think there had to be a better way than what they did.
And I feel like The Force Awakens painted Rian Johnson into a corner.
Oh, yeah.
And then Rian Johnson was like, how do I reset this?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of did.
Yeah.
This felt like a soft reboot.
It did, because it felt like there was more hope. Like, okay, now we're going to reset again at the end of this. I know, it felt weird to have to do that again, though.
It feels like, you know? It feels like A New Hope is going to be episode 9.
Yeah, you're right.
It feels like the scrappy rebels are going to build up then defeat the Death Star in episode 9. That's weird.
It's very weird.
Right?
It's very weird.
Snoke's dead. Who's Snoke? Where'd he come from? What does he do?
There was hardly any development of Snoke.
Hardly. There was none.
Right. So it was just like, okay, like, why are you important? Like, I was kind of hoping, like, you know, his face was all weird and, you know, like, obviously, like, he had been in battle. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to think, like, maybe he was someone at some time or even go back to, like, the prequels and pull some, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone who had, like, risen up. I don't, I guess that's too far. Anyway, that's way too far. But at the same time, just saying, like, use something to give us some reason to care about Snoke.
Something.
I don't know.
It honestly felt like Rian Johnson was just getting rid of the stuff he didn't like in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still tied to it.
Right. So you had to explain it.
So he had to do something.
Right.
Had to preserve something and get rid of others. Like Captain Phasma went out like a punk again.
Again.
But now she's for realsies dead, I'm guessing.
Well, I would think so.
Because...
We complained about how they didn't really utilize her in The Force Awakens, and now, like, again...
They use her even less!
Less! Like, come on.
And then she dies. And then you're just like, okay, you know, like, did Boba Fett go out like a punk worse than Phasma? I don't know. It's just, it was really weird because, yeah, I just don't understand it. I don't get it because... Now we don't have Phasma, we don't have Snoke in episode 9, we don't even have a Resistance in episode 9, we don't even have a Republic in episode 9.
Nope.
And
Well, no one was, like, listening to Leia's distress call. No one was coming, even.
So what does that mean?
So does that mean, like, just these people who are on the Millennium Falcon are that's it?
That's it?
That doesn't seem like a very... good idea.
It's so weird. It's just like, it's to this point where you're just like, if you're looking at, like, if you look at the prequels and then, like, okay, the destruction of the Republic, and then you have the Empire, and then you have the destruction of the Empire, and you have the New Republic, and then you have the destruction of the New Republic, and then you have the First Order. You know what? Move.
Yeah. Like, right? Like, seriously.
Just keep flying.
And, like, this idea that, like, you know, these little kids are telling the story, you know, because they ended kind of like that. And, like, he had the ring of Rose. So you're kind of, like, hinting at the idea that there's going to be, you know, like, a new generation of Resistance, I'm assuming. Isn't that what you're saying?
I felt like...
I'm like, are you going to wait 30 years so this kid will, like, become you know, the next Luke? Is that where you're hinting at? Because I don't think that Daisy Ridley and all these other actors are going to wait that long to make another movie.
At the end of this film, like with that final shot on the Falcon and then that yes. whole thing that you just described.
Yeah.
I was like, are we getting episode 9? Is that happening? Is that still in the books?
Right.
Did like, I miss something?
What's happening?
Like this felt...
Okay.
This felt like, hey, maybe someday.
Right? It totally felt like that.
Because, yeah, like, okay.
Well, and like how much time had gone by for like them to like, you know, this is legendary or, you know, or not even. I don't know.
Well, like, yeah. How did they learn
like
about that?
Like these little kids. Yeah, I have no idea.
The timelines are really weird because according to Rey, with Luke and, you know, with like Finn waking up and everything like that, this is right after Force Awakens,
yes.
and it was only 18 hours or maybe 24 hours because they're going to run out of gas in 18 hours.
Right.
They ran out of gas. Then they went to the base and they have spent very little time at the base.
You're right.
So let's say 24 hours. So one day since The Force Awakens. And
she has all these powers.
And she has all these powers. And so she spent 18 hours, maybe less, with Luke.
Less than that. She also was with Kylo Ren.
That's so weird. That makes it even worse. Because with the original trilogy, you had years that went by in between.
Yes.
And
yes,
it made
years.
Stuff make sense.
Right.
And so I really wonder what we're going to do in episode 9. How did you... Okay, I thought, like most people, I'm assuming, that the Millennium Falcon shot was going to be the last shot of the movie. It kind of felt like Empire, you know, mm-hmm. like where they're all standing
sure.
together. They just had a massive blow against them.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had the kids. What did you think about ending on the kids instead of the Falcon?
The only thing... Well, I would have rather ended with the people that we were following.
Mm-hmm.
That felt weird. Unless we somehow are going to see these kids in episode 9.
I don't... Yeah.
And I highly doubt it.
I highly doubt it. And, like, did you notice that when the kid grabbed the broom?
He used it with the force.
I thought that was fun.
That was fun. So does that mean, like, maybe more people are able to have the force?
No,
like,
I don't...
What does that mean?
I think what that means is that this was one of the biggest blows in Star Wars history. Like, this was, like, the Republic was decimated in The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. This is 18 hours later. This is 24 mm-hmm. hours later. And the Resistance was decimated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just hit after hit after hit. And so the win was, it's okay. It's, you know, this has all happened before. It's going to happen again. Like Battlestar Galactica. You know, like this. And I think that's what they're trying to say is that, like, there are people out there. There are Force users out there. There are people who will be who are downtrodden,
mm-hmm.
who will be inspired by the Resistance
yeah.
to rise up. But we already did that.
Right. And, you know, I'm even okay with, like, a rehashing, okay? Like, we all love Star Wars. We all love the way that, you know, 4, 5, 6 go. But at least attempt to do a similar formula if you're going to do that or do it well. I don't know. If you're trying to redo the storyline.
So I guess what it's coming down to and what people might be like, do they like the movie? we liked the movie. We enjoyed the ride. There was a lot of great moments, but I don't like what they're doing to the universe.
No, I do not.
I think that's the line.
Oh yeah. I completely agree with you. Especially when we were hashing it out, actually, mm-hmm. like talking about this timetable and everything, it doesn't make sense. And it is kind of a slap in the face if you actually think about, like you said, the history of this universe.
So what came before, yeah.
Exactly. I think, I don't know, like, I think I'd have to see it again to kind of, do I like it? I don't know. I think there was a lot of fun moments, though. I think that mm-hmm. that was what we came away with, was like, it was fun, a lot of fun action sequences.
And Star Wars should be fun.
But there's a lot wrong with it. Lot wrong with it, clearly.
Could have been a half an hour shorter.
Oh, yeah.
Delete the whole casino storyline and
yes.
the traitorous storyline.
Yes.
And give us a win. Give the universe a win. Give the rebels a win.
Yeah, you know? Seriously.
It's rough. All right. Well, we've been going on for a long time. It's been an hour and 13 minutes on this podcast. Oh, so we thank you guys so much for listening. Just go to thenerdparty.com for all of our previous episodes and all of our other shows, as well as how you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything like that. Again, that's thenerdparty.com.
I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
I don't.